kids back to school.
Oh, it's, thank goodness.
Yeah. You have a daughter?
I have a daughter. She's 11. Okay. Starting sixth grade.
Yep. I sent them off this morning. Have a great day. Mommy is leaving.
It's a holiday for parents.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, your kids are here at church, Katie, mm-hmm. and, like, they're playing.
My kids come to work. I'm like, just go with a ball somewhere away from the office.
Yeah, thank you for admitting that we're doing all the work of raising your kids you during
thank
the summer.
You. It takes a village.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes an unwilling village. Yeah. All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
And Pastor David.
Hello, hello.
New Pastor David.
Yeah.
Different Pastor David.
We have replaced Pastor David this week with Pastor David Hansen, who pastors a Lutheran congregation right up the road from us. How far away from you are us?
5 miles, maybe?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Spirit of Joy was one time a church plant from Lord of Life.
It was. It was a mission plant from Lord of Life 20 years ago.
So you were not there when that happened.
I was not there when that happened.
Nor I. Yes.
No.
So at one point in time, we had a strong connection. I don't know if those connections are quite as strong.
Probably not quite as strong, but we try.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we still don't. Yeah. We're friends. We're friendly congregations.
We transfer members back and forth.
Yes, we
They get mad at us. They go to you. Exactly. They get mad at you. They come to us. You know. And we did a joint VBS there a few years ago.
Yeah, we did.
It was fun. So you're going to come on. We're talking today about the prosperity gospel.
And I appreciate the seed gift from Lord of Life, the Spirit of Joy, as a thank you gift for this. Yes.
We're going to get that back in full.
Absolutely.
That's the way it works. Yeah. But before we get there, we're going to talk about some news. All right. Church in England has installed a giant fairground slide so you can see its roof up close. All right. So they have
a fairground slide.
Yes. So like if you imagine like a slide where you like kind of like walk up and there's like a little platform on the top about 50 feet in the air and then you slide it down. It kind of does a circular motion all the way down to the bottom.
So are they going
to
put a baptismal pool at the bottom?
Yeah. Because you know, that's a good idea.
I'm here for it.
Yes. So this is they think that their roof is just as pretty as the Sistine Chapel. And this is a good way to get people to come look at it.
Wait. The inside or the outside?
The inside. This is inside the church, inside the sanctuary.
Oh. I was imagining outside.
Me too.
No.
What
they
I
want
too.
In the middle of the sanctuary. So if you come in right at the front, this giant fairground slide called a helter skelter, which is interesting. You know, it's in England. So you know, there's a Beatles song, Helter Skelter, and then I know the Manson family co-opted that.
And then you know, the serial killer.
They co-opted that. You know, it's a, you know, maybe needs a rebranding of a name.
Maybe.
But
interesting.
Yes.
Children's sermons.
They are
rock.
Yeah, they're saying it is not a gimmick, though, to have this in there. Hmm. And I say, okay, yeah,
right.
Sure.
Yeah, it seems like it's only for a limited time to go there to climb up the slide.
It's not a gimmick, but it's only for a limited time.
Only
right?
from
exactly.
a limited time. Yes. And this follows a similar move from another cathedral in England that installed a miniature golf course in its sanctuary.
Wow.
I'm not sure what you're looking at. Maybe, you know, if they have like beautiful stained glass, you know, Stations of the Cross, and you're just putting, you know, this Station of the Cross is a three par, you know.
I gotta say, all of a sudden I'm thinking a slide is not that big a stretch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
right?
the mini golf, I can't imagine.
Right. No, yeah. I couldn't either.
I can't even make a loose connection.
Yeah. Right.
So what are some things you'd want installed in Spirit of Joy there, you know, to get some new butts in the seats? What
so,
do you got?
So we've got the crow's nest.
Yes. Okay.
And I so want a zip line.
That'd be great.
I want a zip line to come in on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Like a fog machine and you're just like sliding on
coming
in.
Coming through the fog.
And here I am.
Yeah.
Yes, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
I'd go for the zip line.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What do you think for us, Katie? What are some things Lord of Life could invest in here?
Well, I'm not the person to ask for that. I mean, I'm all for like the playgrounds inside the church.
This is not a real idea.
Yeah. You know, we have those in Spirit of Joy.
Oh, look at that. Yes.
I love that.
I think maybe like we could have like bumper cars in the church to get out some of this like church tension. You know, when things come up and like we're frustrated, ram into each other for a few times.
We have to take out some pews.
Yeah, a go kart lap around the whole church. You know, I think that'd be
that'd
nice.
Be good.
Yeah,
that would be fun for sure.
Yeah. So
I mean, I can't imagine these people are sliding down a slide or playing putt-putt golf in worship.
Why not?
Maybe they are.
Again, I'm here for it.
Right?
Yeah, I also don't imagine if you're sliding down a slide, are you really like looking up at the ceiling, like enjoying the art? Like, I just imagine I'm just enjoying the slide, you know? But maybe, I don't know. It is a limited time. It ends mid-August, so...
We need to go to England today. So,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, listeners, you got, like, one day to get over there to
if you happen to be there.
Right? Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So we, at the top of the podcast, sorry, but it started of school, so we did a blessing of the backpacks this last Sunday. Do you do a blessing of the backpacks?
We do. Ours is on the 25th.
Okay. All right. Yep. So you're ready to go, in physics. Anything... weird you've ever been asked to bless as a pastor?
Oh, well, we do the pets.
We do pets too.
Right, in October. Blessing, yeah.
Which I think is kind of weird.
It's fun. You know, I've had, parrots.
Yeah.
No snakes.
In a cage?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, so they don't, like, fly away.
No. Okay. Like, in a cage.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Ours is mostly dogs. With the
blessing
of the
mostly
pets.
Dogs.
Maybe a couple cats. Yeah,
cats. What else have we had at that? Dogs, cats. Of course, all the stuffed animals.
Right.
Okay, you do blessing of stuffed animals.
Very cool.
Okay,
that's the kids bring them.
They just come.
They just come. Yep. As part of the pet
it's
blessing.
It's not actually, a said thing, but they just show up.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
When I worked at I came here working at summer camp was what I did before, and one of the donors wanted to donate us like a couple $1,000s to start a pet cemetery on campsite.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. The director asked me what I thought about that, and I said, absolutely not.
No.
That sounds terrifying.
Yes.
Especially, like, what do you do? Like, kids are on a little hike. I'm like, oh, that's where Fluffy is buried over there. I mean, that is so scary. Like, yeah. And there's
Stephen
King
movie
and book about
pet
cemetery.
Like,
no thanks,
I'm good. Yeah. I think you can do it, but you have to put a sign on it that says, a farm in the country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the farm they go to.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the Russian Orthodox Church, they do blessings too, not just I don't know if they do backpacks and pets, but they are considering a ban now of blessing weapons of mass destruction. So they bless the nuclear missiles of Russia.
Sure they do.
That seems an interesting thing to bless. And they're now considering maybe we should not do that after 70 years of blessing nuclear bombs. Maybe that's a bad thing.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm surprised here in America we have not had, churches doing, like, blessings of the handgun.
I bet there are.
Or at least I don't know about them.
I'm going to say that there are.
Yeah.
I'm going to put money on it.
Yeah.
We'll have to research that, for sure.
I'm looking.
You're looking? Yeah. So they bless the nuclear weapons because they perceive them as a means of protection and salvation from the West. So it is... building up some steam within some of the Russian Orthodox that it's not a good idea to bless the weapons, bless the soldiers, but not the weapons themselves. And then there has been some pushback because they're viewed as this is one of the priests there who's very influential. Says they're the country's guardian angels, is the nuclear missiles.
Oh no!
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
No!
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting language. I don't know much about the Eastern Orthodox or West Russian Orthodox Church. They have cool outfits.
I would say even for their theology, there's no way that fits.
Right. Yeah.
Seems pretty weird. Seems like an interesting choice.
All right, so, yeah.
You found a blessing of the
Unity Church. So not specifically, anything close to us, right?
But
yeah. Check out the picture of them holding their ARs in worship with their crown of bullets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice for churches
again,
to make.
Yeah. Again, yeah. Yeah.
We have not stepped into the blessing of the handgun or blessing of the weapon range here. We're still just doing backpack and pets.
Yeah.
Teachers.
Yeah, teachers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We do a blessing of the blanket, so we give to our seniors.
We do.
I guess that's
Yeah, we do that as well.
But not a weapon.
Right.
Yet. Maybe we can advertise our services
to
the United States military.
To be fair, the blankets and backpacks could be used as weapons.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Certainly there were plenty of times that my backpack full of books got swung at other people's heads.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. For
That's a blessing of a weapon.
Sure. I guess, a dog is, could be an attack dog, defense dog. It doesn't necessarily be a family pet.
It's all a matter of degrees, Patrick.
Yeah, it's perspective is really what matters there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our main story tonight, talking about the prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a word that is used a lot. It's a relatively modern, I don't know, heresy, I guess that's a good word for it.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay, heresy in, you know, about 100, 200 years old. Yeah.
I would say relatively modern and American heresy.
Relatively modern, yeah. Very American in nature. But real quick, can you sum up what the prosperity gospel is for us?
Sure. The prosperity gospel at its heart is God rewards you if you do the right thing.
Yeah.
Like there's more to it, but that's the heart of it.
Sure.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also sometimes called like the health and wealth gospel because right. it's typically tied into those two things that God is blessing you with health. God is blessing you with wealth for, like you said, doing the right things and sometimes even like visualizing the right things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's often tied into some. What am I looking for?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's not visualization. There's another word I was looking for.
Maybe even like just like something like the power of positive thinking type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, positive visualization. Yeah.
So I did some research here, and I have a little article here about the history of it. So it was kind of born in the late 19th and early 20th centuries in a thing called the New Thought, which was kind of this power of positive thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, probably a similar thing would be The Secret. Have you familiar with this book? Oprah, it was on Oprah's thing. And it's basically visualize what you want in the future and it'll happen mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
If you, yes, if you bring it into existence, speak it into existence, right. it will happen.
Yeah, a little bit of like if you build it, they will come, right. You know, kind of a thing. So it's coming out of this idea of the New Thought. And so this was, you know, a thing that was moving and then Christians kind of co-opted it. You know, big example of that would be Oral Roberts, which is a very interesting name. He has a college, a university named after him that I think he founded. And this came in the, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, and probably really rose to prominence with the rise of television preacher. Mm-hmm. You know, the televangelist mm-hmm. is really where I think the prosperity gospel really started coming to fruition across the country. So the Word of Faith movement, which was, you know, prominent televangelist movement, started this idea of what the prosperity gospel is. And I think most of these things we can look back on, and I hope we can say, like, it's kind of obviously predatory. I hope, you know, most people can say that.
I wish that we could. I think that it works because... Yeah.
There are people who don't see it as
predatory. Don't see it as obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess from the outside looking in, I see it as obviously predatory. So this is probably a mindset of like these are the guys who would get on to TV and say like, send in your seed money and then God will provide you blessings of health and mm-hmm. wealth of what mm-hmm. you need.
Right.
They have testimonials of people mm-hmm. calling in being like, yeah, we sent in our $50 to Benny Hinn Ministries and the next day we got this blessing in our mail. Mm-hmm. You know, one that made me laugh was like one woman, and I feel bad for her because she said, you know, she wrote her check of $100. It was the last $100 in her checking account to whatever ministry was out there. And then the next day, her tax return came in the mail. Well, you're going to get that anyway. Like that's not like a blessing that's out of the blue. That was coming, regardless of what you did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But right. I think that kind of like speaking of like send in your money and blessings will come mm-hmm. seems obviously predatory to
right.
me.
And it's, yeah. and it's the if then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you do this, that will happen.
Right.
And it really kind of twists the knife on people of like prove your relationship and love and for God with a financial donation. It's almost always a financial donation.
Oh yeah.
And it's definitely always to us, to our ministry, and to you know supporting our things. Whether that's support us in buying a new private plane, a new...
Well, and that's the flip side, right? So the preachers in this tradition live extravagant lifestyles mm-hmm. because it's a sign of God's blessing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's not seen as extravagant. It's seen as, since I did all of these good things, look how God has blessed me. Don't you want your pastor to be the sort of person who God rewards with a private jet and a Lamborghini?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's and especially they're getting that blessing mm-hmm. from their mm-hmm. constituents, from their congregations or their online congregations.
It's from God.
It's from God. Yeah, that's true. Okay. And we here on Beyond Sunday want to say, we have blessings in store for you guys. Send in some money. We'll actually take a 5-star review on iTunes.
Right.
Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. God is going to get something good for you in the future. Yeah, so I think that these things... probably are the biggest examples of this prosperity gospel, and also kind of the most obviously heretical examples, mm-hmm. especially from the outside looking in. And I think they're really preying on a naive, you know, population, usually typically elderly, or typically low education, sometimes poor people that they're really kind of marketing themselves to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so this is why, you know, I think predatory is a good word for this. Like they're really taking advantage of the people that are following them. I can't imagine, you know, from my perspective of like being in relationship with Jesus, like wanting to do something like that, like thinking that that's okay.
Right.
So sometimes I think like what drives a person to get in front of people and knowingly scam them out of money?
Money?
I guess so. Yeah, money.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, it's,
I've got to imagine that at least some of these people don't see the harm in what they're doing, right?
Okay, right. Sure.
Like, yeah. I wanna like, obviously there are the people who are inherently predatory who are only doing it for the money, but I feel like there are some people who think that this really is the gospel,
yeah,
and that they really are proclaiming right. what God calls them. And I'm not sure which is more frightening.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Like an obvious con artist, you feel like, well, they can be exposed,
right?
But somebody who's the genuine believer in this kind of a thing, what happens? Even if they're, you know, get accused of fraud and go to jail, they just come back stronger than ever. You know, yeah. Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Some of these, the obvious con artists, though, I think, like, they just have to probably think there is no God. Because, like, how could you go think, like, right. one day I'll die and stand before the Almighty and I'll be like, I conned your people out of their money and made their lives worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those obvious. Like, again, I don't want to speak about anybody's faith, but that's just my perspective. So this is probably the most obvious health and wealth, very much of
yeah.
seed money, and you get a blessing. But I think there are more subtle forms of prosperity gospel that aren't quite as if and then, like you said. Like, you do this, then you'll get blessing. So probably the biggest proponent of that in America would be Houston's own Joel Osteen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, and it's, he's not necessarily saying, like, send money to us and to our congregation and you'll receive a blessing, but he's definitely weaving that in an implication type of thing.
And there's this, they go together, you know, kind of where Joel Osteen is and where the more explicit prosperity gospel stuff yeah. is, around this idea that ultimately, if you are living the sort of life that God wants you to live, it will be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Joel Osteen is, right, live your best life yeah. now is uh-huh. his big thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the overlap there, and mm-hmm. that's where that theology comes in, right? That somehow God's people have it better in this world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Contra, say, Jesus on the cross.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and every disciple
right.
of Jesus at the time did not have happy endings.
Right.
You know, most of them, hard lives, hard death.
Yep.
You know, that's kind
of
like, well, what?
11 of 12.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. that's, and these are, typically we would say, the greatest, you know, followers of Jesus imaginable, you know, that they were putting their lives on the line, and they had that direct connection. Yeah, and in his book, Become a Better You, so he writes, start thinking, feeling, and speaking positively about yourself. The scripture says, our faith is made effectual when we acknowledge everything good in us. No source. Our faith is most effective when we acknowledge the good things that are in us. Declare affirmations such as, I have a bright future. I am gifted. I am talented. People like me. I have the favor of God. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
Stuart Smiley.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Al Franken on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I'm good enough. Doggone it. People like me.
Yeah, yes. I'm smart enough and doggone. No, it's that same thing. It's that speak it into existence and it will come yeah. to be, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's
yeah. it's pretty, I'd say, pretty shallow.
Right.
It's just like this idea of like, you know, you're great. Everything you do is great. And God thinks you're great. And then it's just over. You know,
which, yes, but.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's truth in there. And I think that's what makes this one really hard, is that there's truth in there, yet it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's using parts of Scripture, parts of how Jesus operates in our right. world and in our hearts, but not all of it.
And right. pick yeah. and choosing what you want to support yeah. what you're doing.
Yes.
Right. You are God's beloved child. You mm-hmm. were created to be who yeah. you are, and mm-hmm. that is a gift to the world.
Yeah.
And also, you're fallen and sinful and yep. broken and flawed.
Yeah.
And both things are true.
Sure. And just because you follow God does not mean you get what you want in this world.
Right.
Especially if what you want in this world is not God.
Right, is the yeah. things of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where the real heresy comes in here with the prosperity gospel, is because it's pointing you that the true things that you should desire in this world is not God. Mm-hmm. God is the means to get the things that you want.
Right.
That it's forcing, like, saying, God is going to bow down to my idols.
Santa God.
Yeah, it's a Santa
yeah.
God. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's saying, yeah, God, this is what I really, really want, health and wealth. And you are the means to get those things.
And, yeah. you know, again, by contrast, all of the great spiritual writers of Christian history have found their deepest moments not in their worldly success, but in their moments of illness and mm-hmm. brokenness
sure.
and mm-hmm. loss.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, it's the exact this whole thing baffles me because it's such the opposite of the great swell of Christian mm-hmm. tradition.
Yes.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to take what makes this message appealing to people, do you think? Like, why? I mean, Joel Osteen is maybe the most famous Christian in America. And, you know, we're maybe using the word Christian a little loosely here, but, you know, like, maybe the most pastor in America. He's a best-selling author. So what makes his message, do you think, attractive to people who are there?
I think it's there's no wonderment in this. Like, yeah. it's somebody told me this is true, so I'm just going to believe that this is true because that's just, I need to hear a definite defining answer. Like, if I do this, then this is going to happen to me. Okay, sold.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Just the simplicity of it and the, yeah. I pay you and I get something. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very transactional.
It's transactional. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that plays on something, like, that's deep in our psyche. Right? Mm-hmm. You've got...
Mm-hmm.
littles.
Yes.
Right? And, like, how often do you hear, but that's not fair?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right? Like, we have this deep desire yeah. for fairness that's,
right.
like, no one teaches us that.
Right.
We figure that out pretty early on, mm-hmm. what's fair and what's mm-hmm. not fair. Well, fair is you get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair is if you do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
you'll get something in reward,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair is if my sister gets a treat, I also get a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But God's not fair.
Right.
God is not. Yeah, and yeah. I think that's a
and
hard
that's good
thing
news.
To come up. It's both good news, and I think it's also a hard hill to get over for some people because we think God should be fair. And, you know, God is just, and so the justice should prevail, and because I did the right thing, I should get the right
well,
thing.
And go on any – if you want to see how deep this is, even among folks who are rooted in Orthodox theology, go on any news – site when they post about someone who's convicted of a heinous crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's going to get them.
Yeah.
They'll get what
right.
they deserve, right? Like
right.
we've got this desire not just for good people to get good, but for bad people to be punished.
Right.
Again, in this mm-hmm. world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it also, yeah, like we mentioned earlier, this idea of like a Santa God, because that's what it really is. It's you know, our concept of Santa, which is kids who do good things get the good presents. Kids who do the bad things, well, in reality, in Santa, like, also get the good presents.
Right.
Unless they're
right.
not wealthy.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of what it is. But it has this idea of, like, God is keeping score in heaven, and if I'm winning, I will get the prize at the end.
I'm on the good list.
The spoils of,
right?
you know.
The good
of my effort.
That I do more or less outweighs the bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And the language we hear this in is, I'm basically a good person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of my favorite things to ask a congregation is, how many of you think you're basically a good person?
Right.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're not. You're not
right.
basically a good person.
Sure.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it supplements, like, the idea sometimes for Christianity is, like, that's the point.
Right.
To become a good person.
Right.
Or that's what we're about, is how do we become good people? And if we already think I'm a good person, well, how do I just kind of stay a good person?
Yeah, and right. how do I do enough so that when I get there yeah. at the end, the good that I've done in this life will outweigh the bad.
Yeah.
So I can be rewarded mm-hmm. for the good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that definitely flies in the face of not only Lutheran theology, but biblical theology. I mean, absolutely. You know, every major, you know, Christian denomination should be saying that is not how it works.
Yeah.
Like, that is not, you're not saved by being a good person. And the point is not just to become a good person, mm-hmm. that there's something bigger, deeper going on there. Saved by grace. And the point is not to become good. The point is to become perfect, to become, reach an unattainable status on your own without God, you know, interceding.
Well, yeah. Even the point is saved by grace, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I love my daughter not because she then reacts in a certain way because I love her.
Yeah.
The point is, I love her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? And that's the way God works. God Absolutely. Loves us. That's the whole point. Now, then we get to choose how to live, but that's a whole other question.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this definitely, you know, we can say, like, man, I definitely see how those predatory guys on TV saying, send in your seed money. I'm not going to do that. Joel Osteen, I'm not interested in that. Yet, this idea of a prosperity gospel does seep into, I think, our everyday thinking and sometimes even our theology, sometimes the way we even present the gospel to people. Mm-hmm. This does seep in. And do you have, like, maybe a thought of, like, ways that this can creep into our lives unnoticed or subtly?
Ooh. So, Katie,
yes.
What's the difference between the prosperity gospel and your capital campaign?
Geez, you're asking me the question.
I know, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or
your annual stewardship campaign, right? Like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, this is the people who sometimes don't see the difference are going to ask exactly that question.
Yeah.
Right. To me, how I view it, I mean, the prosperity gospel is, if you do this, then something good is going to happen to you personally, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like a capital campaign, like when we were doing one to build our welcome center, like that was not necessarily to further an individual's mission in, or to make something good happen to one individual. It was to build a space for the mission of God, to allow more people to come into the building, to fit more people. So I look at it differently.
Yeah.
In that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to start that conversation of, like, we want to make sure what we're doing is ultimately not to meet our own desires and our own needs and our own wants and dreams, but how can we tap into what God is doing in our community, and how can this capital campaign or stewardship right. committee be a part of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can say it does get gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right?
It does
yeah. get hard, because God doesn't necessarily easily communicate with each and every one of us of, like, this is what you should invest your money in right now.
Well, and I yeah. think God does call us to be generous and yeah. to live generously, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's hard sometimes to nuance that in a way where I'm saying, you know, Patrick, God is calling you to be generous, mm-hmm. not so that God can reward you, but because I've learned when I'm generous, I do feel rewarded, but not in right. the sense of then I get more money.
Right.
But the way I look at my money has mm-hmm. changed. The connection I have with God has changed. Mm-hmm. The connection I have with my stuff is mm-hmm. changed. Mm-hmm. And it's not a prescription that if you do this, X will happen. It's a description right. of what mm-hmm. I've experienced.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a hard line to walk sometimes in preaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, I'm glad I do not have to preach on stewardship here at right. Lord of Life. I preach a handful of Sundays a year. I never have to do that one, and I'm glad about that. Because I think that's a tough line to walk on how to best convey those things.
So I need to talk to Pastor Gary.
Yes.
And see if I can get you assigned a stewardship
no,
Sunday.
No. I will say thank you, but no thank you. Yes. We have two great pastors that can do that. You know, I like more the lighter topics. You know, but one of the things that I thought of when I was thinking about, like, what is the ways the prosperity gospel subtly influenced my life is something we actually talked about on a past episode when we talked about purity culture. Because I grew up in youth group in the late 90s, mm-hmm. and we were told about purity culture. One of the men we mentioned, Josh Harris, author of I Kiss Dating the Goodbye, has since renounced his book, divorced. And his faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what is happening, because in the purity culture, I think we were given a sexual prosperity gospel of, like, if you remain pure sexually, you will have
the best marriage, great marriage,
great sex. All these things are coming down the line if you hold fast now. Mm-hmm. And Josh Harris may be the poster child of both the hold fast now and it didn't work.
It didn't work, right. Yeah.
Yeah, like that I did those things and still I got divorced. Still, those things could have happened to me. And I think that's what maybe a lot of people had to come to terms with, Christians, of like, mm-hmm. I did my best to remain pure, and yet my marriage did not succeed the way I thought it would.
And I mean, that's that to me is scriptural. Like, the world is broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regardless of whether we live this way or that way, the world is broken, and hurricanes are going to happen, and tragedy is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Having nothing to do with, you know, the people of Houston or the people of New Orleans or wherever, you know, why was this man born blind? Who sinned? Nobody. Yeah. He was just born blind.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the world sucks.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes two people get married with the best of intentions and a lot of love, and sometimes that dissolves, and there's a lot of factors that go into that, and sometimes they're keystone moments of these are places and ways that we can be restorative, and it just doesn't happen. Yeah. And it's hard to say, like, you know, sometimes my parents are divorced, and it's sometimes hard to say, like, what happened there.
Yeah.
But I do think that is something that I can say personally I fell for as a mm-hmm. Christian growing up in the 90s. I believed that was coming down the road.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case. And I think that is kind of that sexual prosperity gospel that was given to a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talked about purity culture, so I don't want to get super into that. But that is a way that it's attractive. Because everybody wants a good marriage. Everybody wants a healthy sex life. And think this is the way to get it, mm-hmm. is by doing these things. Mm-hmm. And which isn't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And I thought of another example that I thought of. A subtle way the prosperity gospel can seep into our own lives and minds, and that definitely comes through parenting. I don't know about you guys, but at our confirmation program, that's usually when people come back in a lot of ways. Yep. We haven't seen them for several years, but confirmation is they got to check this milestone box off. And this idea that I don't know if a parent necessarily would verbalize, but I do think it's processing this idea of, like, if we get them into church, our kids will turn out better. Like, they'll be more moral. Mm-hmm. They'll avoid the pitfalls of sex and drugs better, mm-hmm. if we get them into church. Have you seen that from your perspectives of pastor and children's director?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, to me, it goes not just church. It goes, if we get them into the right school, if we get them in with the right whatever, their lives are going to be so much better if mm-hmm. we do the right things. And, I mean, your kids are people who can make their own decision.
Sure.
Who can decide things for themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's no answer. Like, mm-hmm. there's no, this is the one thing that's going to make them better. This is the one, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah. Rich Milheim talks about that as the inoculation model.
Yeah.
We give them just enough Jesus that they're immune to mm-hmm. faith the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's the idea of, like, if my kid is having trouble in school or my kid is going down a path that I don't think is right for them, just dump a bunch of religion on them and that is going to solve mm-hmm. it. And I can say it doesn't.
Right.
No. Like, that's not the way it works. Now, that being said, I think Jesus and faith can redeem and redirect. Yes.
But it doesn't work by getting dropped off at Sunday school.
Yes, it does not work with just pouring religion on a problem and then it's all fixed.
Right.
It comes through the connection and, mm-hmm. and faith in Christ and what Christ is doing in your own life. Mm-hmm. Not just, I checked off my boxes, I sat in confirmation class, I did a sermon note, and I had to memorize a scripture that I wrote on a note card.
And now they're going to be great.
And now I got it.
But I think the other way it shows up is the way we even talk about blessings.
Sure.
Right? If somebody says that they've been blessed, 9 times out of 10, what do they mean?
They mean
health or wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They mean either they got a new car, or they bought mm-hmm. their house, or mm-hmm. money showed up in the mail from a dead relative, or...
Yeah. Right. Yeah, or, you know,
or the illness went away, or...
Yeah, or our kids are doing well in school, they're happy and successful, mm-hmm. our marriage is strong. These mm-hmm. are the things, these are the blessings we see in our own world. And it comes into contrast when Jesus talks about blessing in the Sermon on the Mount, that those, the blessings that he offers are the blessings we don't want.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Right, like, I think we misuse and misunderstand sometimes the idea mm-hmm. of what it means to be blessed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it feeds into that.
Yes.
So What's the solution? I'm using that in quotes here. What can we do about this to keep these subtle forms of penetrating in our own psyches and faith? So we don't think if I only do X or if I only get my kids involved in X, things are going to turn out better.
I think it's just realizing that that's not true. I mean, we have to come to terms with knowing that that's not the truth. That's not what really what happens. And bad things happen. And life happens because just like David said, we live in a broken world where things are going to break. And it's how you rise and deal with those things. And it's sitting in that when that happens too. Where, again, with most spiritual leaders who have, you had to sit in a not so great place to learn and to really truly understand the presence of God in your life and Jesus working through that. So I think it, number one, it's come to terms with the fact that that's not true. Yeah. Like that's not what we believe.
Sure.
I'm more of a spray bottle method.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
You know, when people say, just spray them.
Right.
Like my cats.
Right.
You know, just quit it.
Yes.
Quit it.
Yes.
Do your cats respond to that?
No.
Mine either. We spray them like a million times.
It doesn't work at all. No.
Yeah.
No. I think it's a game now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it. I think you've got to start with the brokenness of this world and that those things are going to happen to God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, on the just and the unjust. That good and bad things happen in this world. And that what I'm called to do is deal the hand I'm dealt with as faithfully as I can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whether it's as a parent, how do I parent using the tools that I've been given, all of the tools I've been given, prayerfully and faithfully, knowing that, you know, it could still, my kid could still get sick through no fault of mine.
Yeah.
My kids could still make choices that are not the choices I would have them make because they're not me.
Sure.
And all I could do everything right. And that still could happen. Yeah. And so I just have to do the best I can with the cards I've been dealt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think also for me, it's the idea of like coming to God in a different way. That I don't come to God, pray, worship because God is useful, but because God is beautiful. Like, and I think sometimes we get confused there. That we say, God, I want God to be useful in my life. God is going to come in and fix my problems. And instead saying, I want to come to God just because God is beautiful. The point is the relationship with God. Not the point is to fix all the junk in my life or to make things easier or to solve my family problems, my anger, my insecurity, my marriage, my kids. The point is I'm coming to God solely because God is beautiful and I'm drawn to that. And that may mean life gets harder. And that's better, you know, so because it's realigning what I really want in this world.
And it's, I mean, the language we use, we're utilitarians, right? Yeah. What's the point, you know?
Sure.
And you hear that from folks who are thinking about going back to church, right? Who are at that stage of life where they're asking, you know, well, why should I go back to church? And it's a fair question. But then we tend to get caught in that trap as church people and answer it in a utilitarian way.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you know, I feel better when I go back to when I go to church. I do.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's true. But it's not the, right? But we tend to answer in the way that we've been asked in that sort of utilitarian.
And then I think for all of us as educators in the church from different platforms of how can I make sure I'm showing kids that that's what I want them to see. That's what I want them to hear. Not that God is useful, but God is beautiful in your life. And that it's not come here and we're going to solve what's ever going on or we're going to figure this out together. But we're going to sit in wonder of a God that's bigger and more beautiful than we could imagine.
You know, and to that extent, the VBS theme this year really did a great job, I think, of reminding kids that because it was when life is wild, God is good. And it went through every day. When life is sad, God is good. When life... So things are going to happen. Again, we live in a broken world where you're going to be sad, where like your life is going to change, when there are just days where you worry. Like all of that's going to happen. But remember, through that all, God is good. Like it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And what you're saying, take the time to still realize God is good. God is beautiful. That's the point.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our recommendation time unless we have any other thoughts on this.
I have no more thoughts.
I mean, I'm sure we can keep going for hours and hours.
Right, yeah.
But I think we've got a good grasp of...
You brought me in here and gave me a microphone.
Sure, right. Yeah.
Keep going.
Katie and I will leave. We're going to go to lunch.
Yeah.
You just monologue.
No problem. Yes. I can do that. Yes.
All right, it is our recommendation time. So we do recommendations for our listeners. Pastor David Hansen, if you have a recommendation for us.
Yeah, I just finished Lenny Duncan's book, Dear Church, a love letter from a black preacher to the whitest denomination in the USA. That is our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It was challenging and hard to read. Mm-hmm. What I love about the way Pastor Lenny writes is he is deeply passionate. It is a love letter. It's not a book that's probably for everyone. It's going to be hard for a lot of people to read. And there were times where I wanted to shout yes, and there were times when I wanted to throw it against the wall, and there were times when I laughed with him, and times. But it really hit all the right notes for me, and challenged me to think about what it means to be a place that is really welcoming and inviting, and where my faith isn't tied to that Northern European culture that we inherited as Lutherans.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's on my to-read list.
Because
I do think that's interesting. And these are the questions: how can a faith community that tries to be so open and so welcoming and has a policy of the table is open and welcome for all, and yet not do a very good job of making that happen, especially for racial minorities?
Yeah.
And how can we do a better job? And maybe that comes from, we have to let go of some of the things that we love to be more welcoming and more open.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole topic. We obviously have not done a good job. We've said this is a thing we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we failed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that probably might be a good podcast topic for us in the future. How can the ELCA be better at reaching the racial minorities of the United States, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What was that again? Dear Church?
Dear Church.
Okay. By Lenny
Duncan.
Duncan. Okay.
Cool.
All right. If you are interested in Beyond Sunday Podcast, if you're a first-time listener or a long time, you can visit our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. We're also on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast. Please, we'd love if you take the time to rate and review us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this. There's probably a rate and review button. Do that. It helps the podcast get to more people. Plus, God was definitely give you some blessings in your life. I can feel it already. You know? We're laying hands on the microphone, on the computer.
Wait. Let's clarify the we here.
Yeah. All right, this is definitely being facetious. We do appreciate it, though, for our listeners.
Yes.
All right, and until then, thank you, Pastor David Hansen, for coming in.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have to have you back in the near future to come talk to us again. You are a technology guy, right?
I am a technology guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Pastor David is a technology guy, too. He likes tech. Maybe not to the level of tech. But we want to have you come back and talk to us about tech and other things, thoughts on faith.
You bet.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any way, if they're interested in, like, do you have, like, a Twitter or something like that?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Rev_David. I'm on Facebook at Digital Pastor David. So facebook.com/digitalpastordavid. You can find the church at sojoy.org, sojoy.org.
Great. All right, well, until next time, we'll see you, all our listeners, next week.